الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we continue with العقيدة الوسطية للشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية. And in fact, we are in the process of quoting the rest of the verses which were authored by or which were cited by شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية to prove that Allah سبحانه وتعالى is above his creation. And much of the elaboration was on the first ayah, right? But the first ayah contained a lot of other ayat which we quoted that we will see again, because we quoted them in the context of proving that we prove Allah's transcendency through the Kitab and the Sunnah and the Ijma' Fitra Akul. We need them in order, Ibrahim, because they are in order. If you think about them, Kitab, Sunnah, Ijma', Fitra, Akal, or Akal Fitra, Akal Fitra. Good. So Akal then Fitra. The last two are, but the Kitab and Sunnah and Ijma', this is the order that you would usually have it. When we quoted the Kitab, we quoted many of the ayat that we will come across now. But now there will be some elaboration on them. يقول الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله الآية الثانية قوله بل رفعه الله إليه. This is Surah An-Nisa, verse 158. But Allah raised him up unto himself. And here the pronoun him is referring to, yes brothers, is referring to who?
Jesus.
Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Ahsant. No one else. بل للإضراب الإبطالي لإبطال قولهم إنا قتلنا المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وما قتلوه وما صلبوه ولكن شبه لهم وإن الذين اختلفوا فيه لفي شك منه ما لهم به من علم إلا اتباع الظن وما قتلوه يقينا بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. This is the context. And in this, بَلْ is to kind of negate. It's negating, it's an interruption to negate falsehood. False statements that were made, بَلْ is to stop that and refute it. Because they have said, they had said. Who said that? The Jews. Inna qatalna al-Masiha Isa ibn Maryam Rasulullah. This is very interesting. The Jews said, we have killed the Messiah, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. Huh? Who knew there was a messenger of Allah? The Jews. So here, this is a refutation against the Christians who say that he was the son of God. Or they killed him because he claimed he was the son of God. Because that's what you get from the Bible. Or some of the conversations that supposedly took place between Jesus and the Jews, where that he was claiming divinity supposedly, and he was denying it. So they knew that they were killing the messenger of Allah. And this is also an acknowledgement that they knew he was the messenger of Allah. Still they killed him. The Jews, unbelievable people, unbelievable people. We have killed the Messiah, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. But Allah said, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. They neither killed him, nor did they crucify him. What is crucifying or crucifixion?
Crucifying,
nailing someone, or it may be nailing him, it may be tying someone, it may be done with ropes, yeah. Whatever. Someone being placed on a tall object, just let's say, could be a pole, it could be a pole nowadays. The idea is that this person is to be tortured to death, usually, or otherwise. This is a means of torturing. So they neither killed him nor they crucified him. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. Now this is here, the area where you've seen me confused earlier. And I've been looking for it. Because really this is we need to get to the bottom of this, especially those who are involved in da'wah to Christians. When we interpret the statement وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ, it could actually be interpreted in more than one way. One interpretation, شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. وَلَكُمْ سَلَامُ فَضَّلْ.
شبه from what شبه. What is شبه? Resemblance. You say هذا يشبه هذا أو هذا شبه هذا. This is like that. It resembles it in appearance. So one interpretation, ولكن شبه لهم, meaning the appearance, the resemblance of Isa was cast on someone else. رحمك الله. Was cast on someone else who was made to resemble Isa. So the appearance of Isa, شبه Isa, was cast on someone else. Some say it was Judas who had snitched on him, whatever. And then consequently he appeared in the physical form of Isa. So they thought that they had caught him and that they were actually crucifying Isa, but in fact they were crucifying someone else whom Allah had made to look in his appearance. One interpretation. Second interpretation, شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ, is in reference to these circumstances. The circumstances where شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ, meaning they were doubtful, like شُبُهَ, شُبُهَات. It was doubtful to them. There was no clear certainty as to what happened. And if you go back to the biblical verses, this supports that. If you read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you will find inconsistency in the narration of the crucifixion of Jesus. Some of them say that everybody remained around him. Others say everybody ran around. Some say he was on the cross from this time to that time. Another one said he was on the cross for... There are major contradictions among the biblical verses or texts that refer to the crucifixion of Jesus. So much so that if you were to read the four Gospels, you would end up with ultimate confusion. You don't know really what happened. Was he crucified on Sunday or was it some other day? Was he there alone or did people run away? Did this guy next to him speak to him or he didn't? And some of the biblical verses, Jesus was content. He was fine. He didn't say anything. And another one, he was saying, Eli, Eli, lima sabakhtani? God, God, why have you forsaken me? He was complaining. What happened to me? So, inconsistency in the text. That affirms this idea. The whole issue is doubtful to them. There's no certainty concerning what really happened. The circumstances, you know, surrounding this area are vague and ambiguous. So, now, what is the determining element here? A narration, I believe, in al-Tabari, which confirms the first view. I've been meaning to find the authenticity of this narration. So, if we do find it, if it is verified as authentic, case closed. The hadith mentions that when Isa knew he was going to be put to the test and crucified, or attempt to be crucified, he entered upon his disciples, and he told them, "Which one of you is willing to resemble me, die on instead of me, and he will be with me in paradise?" No one among his disciples stood except the youngest one among them, and Jesus ignored him. Right? He was too young. Then he posed the same question again, and again the only one that offered his services was the young man. Jesus ignored him a second time. Then he offered them the third time, the young man got up again, and Jesus said that it will be you. And then the appearance of Jesus was cast on this individual, and Jesus was taken to the heavens through an opening in the roof. They came in, caught the man, crucified him, and they thought that they had crucified Jesus. So this is a hadith which we need to verify authenticity, which explains the event. If it is sound, khalas. If it is not sound, then we cannot say that, or that this is what happened. So the wording in Arabic entertains both meanings. It was made to appear like that to them, that Jesus was crucified, but he was not. Or someone was appearing in his appearance. Someone resembled him and he was crucified on his behalf. Allah Ta'ala alam. Ala kulli hal, Allah says, and those who differ concerning that are in doubt. They have doubt. There's no certainty. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنْ. They have no certain knowledge concerning that except following conjectures and assumptions, doubts. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا. They did not kill him with certainty. Okay, they did not kill him with certainty, or they certainly did not kill him. For sure they did not kill him. بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Nay, but Allah raised him up unto himself. Who? Jesus was risen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah is the all-powerful, the all-wise. Is ever all-powerful, all-wise. So, what is the shahid? What is the shahid? Witness. But this is used in the context of the shari'. No. To say, الشاهد, meaning the point of emphasis. يعني the reason why this verse was quoted, because of a particular point in this verse, which we call the shahid. يعني the point which bears witness for why this citation was made. And in English, I guess the only way we could address is the point of emphasis. يعني the fundamental point in this quotation is بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah raised him unto himself. What does that mean? There's no other way to understand it. The wording cannot entertain any other meaning. رَفَعَهُ رَفَعَ raising, going up. اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ, to himself, unto himself. يعني الله مستعان. يقول الشيخ فكذبهم الله بقوله وما قتلوه يقينا ما قتلوه يقينا بل رفعه الله إليه. Allah belied them, refuted the Jews by saying they did not kill him for sure. Nay, but Allah raised them up unto himself. والشاهد, the point of emphasis, قوله بل رفعه الله إليه فإنه صريح بأن الله تعالى عالم بذاته. It is clearly indicative that Allah Azza wa Jal is himself in the state of transcendency. إذ الرفع إلى الشيء يستلزم علوه. Because raising something onto something else necessitates that the latter is up. Otherwise you cannot raise it. Right? So that was the second ayah, short and brief. الآية الثالثة, the third ayah. إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه. To him, meaning to Allah, ascends the goodly word and the righteous deeds exalt it. And the righteous deeds he raises up to himself as well. Both interpretations. This is Surah Fatir, or the originator, verse 10. إليه إلى الله عز وجل. إليه meaning to Allah, unto Allah. To him ascends the goodly word. يصعد الكلم الطيب. والكلم هنا اسم جمع مفرده كلمة. كلم is a plural for كلمة. What is كلمة? Word. Right? Now be careful, don't say word, because to ward off something is to remove something. WARD. So this is an issue of pronunciation which we need to work on as English speakers in the da'wah field, so we will not give the people the wrong message. So you know, the usually WO is always an sound. Word, work, you know, and so on and so forth. Right? Waikum salam. Beautiful. So kalim. Now usually, what is the word, the plural word for kalima that you're familiar with? Kalimat. Or kalam. Right, kalam, which is speech. But kalim here is another form of plural, to show you the diversity of the Arabic language and how rich it is. That one word can have three different plurals. One word can have three different plurals. This is, you know, almost unfound in English. You don't find this in English, right? It's just one plural. You know, child, children. You cannot get any more philosophical. Anyways. والكلم الطيب يشمل كل كلمة يتقرب بها إلى الله. The goodly word includes every single word which one uses to draw near to Allah. كقراءة القرآن والذكر والعلم والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. Such as reciting the Quran, ذكر. What is ذكر? The remembrance of Allah, sometimes they say celebrating the remembrance of Allah. Of course it sounds funny if you're not used with that terminology. It's like celebrating, what do you mean celebrating? I'm not going to celebrate anything. But they use this to indicate that someone is remembering Allah, right? Celebrating the remembrance doesn't mean that you're having a celebration and you're inviting people to have a cake with you for the celebration of the remembrance. But it is used. If you hear it or read it, don't think that the author has problems. He's using something that is used in the English language. والعلم knowledge والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر, enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil. Unfortunately, for the vast majority of the Muslim ummah, except those whom Allah has shown specific mercy to, the only form of goodly word is usually more or less the Quran. Whereas you and dhikr perhaps, but you'll find in terms of knowledge and enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil, not a very common common feature among the Muslims in this day and time. Even though the very point which Allah has favored this ummah with over the rest of the ummah is enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil. That's a big job. That means every time you are in a position where you can guide people concerning anything in Islam, be it they're doing something wrong so you stop them, or they're doing something right, or they're not doing something and you teach them to do it, alaykum salam, that there's an expectation from you that you get involved. That's a lot of work. I mean, if you were just to walk down the street from the time you make it to your house till the time you make it to the masjid, you may have to do amr bil ma'ruf wa munkar maybe 7 to 10 times. Yeah, seriously, there are many things. You may see someone driving by in a car with music loud, even with your gesture, you know, hands, just turn it down, you know, haram, like this from far, you know, and this is haram. They know, they say, I know, so we dua, so, okay, no problem. At least, sign language, but people know. Someone smoking, you know, you better put it out. If you know the person well enough, I've tried this before, don't try it at home, or as they say, don't try this at home, unless you know the person. If you know the person well enough, say, hey, what are you doing? Grab his hand, grab the cigarette, throw it on the floor and step on it, in a joking way. The man's like, what did you do? Say, man, you can't be smoking here, you know, like that. Now, not everybody will be very happy if you do this unless you know them personally. If you don't know the person, don't try this, right? Maybe, I'm giving you the wrong dawah. This is only with your friends or someone you see every day, and you know him enough to say, Akhi, come on, man, give me the cigarette. And, you try to show, because you want to enjoin the good and forbid the evil with your hand, if you're able to do so. Of course, usually a speech will do the job, or a reminder will do the job. This is if you're very comfortable with the individual. It works with some, alhamdulillah, so far it has been working. But with people that I know very, very closely. But anyway, so we need to really, brothers, stop being shy. And we've mentioned already the joke about shai. I'm sure everybody knows it by now. Alhamdulillah, I know we drink a lot of shai at work, and I think too much shai has caused us to become too shy. I lost you somewhere, huh? You drink shai tea, you become shy. So you no longer speak. Oh, not for me. Yeah, speak. You see something wrong, say something about it, inshallah. And Allah will reward you, because this is goodly word that will go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't know what kind of blessings you don't know if this person will listen to you, and until the day of judgment you will get the reward of a small reminder that you may have given. You don't know, but we will not know unless we try. على كل حال فكل كلمة تقرب إلى الله عز وجل فهي كلمة طيبة. So at any rate, every single word which will get you closer to Allah is what we call كلمة طيبة, a goodly word. What is the opposite of that? Kalima? Huh? Khabitha. Go back to Surah Ibrahim or Ra'd, one of them. Huh? Allah mentioned the example of the tree, right? Kalimatan tayyibatin ila akhri, ka shajaratin tayyibatin far'uha. Nobody knows the ayat. Asluha? Tayyib. We will stop there then. Anyway, so the kalima khabitha is an evil word, and you all know what that could be. تصعد إلى الله عز وجل. All that goes up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وتصل and it reaches him. والعمل الصالح يرفعه الله إليه أيضا. And the goodly and the righteous deeds, Allah also raises them up to himself. So the good deeds and the good words, Allah raises them up to himself. What does that mean? Allah is above. Otherwise nothing will be risen. It will be going somewhere else. فالكلمات تصعد إلى الله والعمل الصالح يرفعه الله. So the goodly words go up to Allah and the righteous deeds Allah raises them up to Himself. وهذا يدل على أن الله عالم بذاته. And this is an indication that Allah Himself is above. لأن الأشياء تصعد إليه وترتفع, since things are going up to Him and being risen. The fourth ayah, الآية الرابعة, قوله وقال فرعون يا هامان ابن لي صرحا لعلي أبلغ الأسباب أسباب السماوات فأطلع إلى إله موسى إلى إله موسى وإني لأظنه كاذبا. This is among the most amazing verses in the Quran, because it proves that Fir'aun had the belief system of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Pay attention now, don't think he's from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. His understanding of the Quran, of the names and attributes of Allah, was like that of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, even though he didn't believe. He had knowledge of that. Let me take, he didn't have the belief system, he had knowledge of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what they believed. But some Muslims today don't. Because here Fir'aun said, oh Haman, build for me a tower that I may ascend on in the way, the ways of the heavens, فَأَطَّلِعَ إِلَىٰ إِلَٰهِ مُوسَى, so I may look at the God of Moses, right? And verily I think that he's a liar, meaning Moses. But what is the point here? Fir'aun wanted to go up to the heavens, have a tower built for him, so he may look at Allah. Why? Then what does that mean? What does that mean? Musa was teaching the people during his time that Allah was above. The fitrah of Fir'aun was that Allah is above. Common sense indicated that Allah is above. This is why Fir'aun said, "Ana rabbukumul a'la." I am your Lord, the Most High. Because the idea is being high is the ultimate perfection. So this is amazing that Fir'aun had this understanding. He wanted to go up in the heavens so that he may look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyways, the Shaykh will elaborate. Haman, waziru Fir'aun. Wal amiru bil bina' Fir'aun. Haman is the minister, Fir'aun's minister. And Fir'aun is the one commanding the construction to be built. Sarhan ay bina'an aliyan. Sarhan meaning a high tower or structure. لعلي أبلغ الأسباب, so that I may arise or reach the ways or the pathways of the heaven. Oof. I'm sorry. Back in business. Okay. نعم. So I may reach the pathways of the heavens. يعني لعلي أبلغ الطرق التي توصل إلى السماء. So I may reach the ways which will help me reach the skies. فَأَطَّلِعَ إِلَىٰ إِلَهِ مُوسَى, so that I may look or get a look at the Lord of Moses. يعني أَنظُرُ إِلَيْهِ وَأَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ مُبَاشَرَةً, meaning I want to see him and be able to reach him directly. لِأَنَّ مُوسَى قَالَ لَهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ فِي السَّمَاءِ, because Musa must have told him that Allah is above the heavens. فَمَوَّهَ فِرْعَوْنُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ بِطَلَبِ بِنَاءِ هَذَا الصَّرْحِ الْعَالِي لِيَرْقَى عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ يَقُولْ لَمْ أَجِدْ أَحَدًا. Now look at this Fir'aun. So Fir'aun wanted to trick his people by claiming that he is commanding Haman to build this tower or this construction, so then he will go up and say, I looked and I didn't find any gods. Okay, so Musa is lying. That's why I said, وَأَنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ كَذِبًا, he's only lying. But I'm going to prove to you that he's lying. Build for me a tower. He's going to go up, you know, say, okay, I didn't see anything, so where's your God? So, you know, this Fir'aun, man, feeble-minded. لَمْ أَجِدَ حَدَ وَيَحْتَمَنَّ قَالُوا عَلَى سَبِيلِ التَّهَكُمْ, or the Shaykh said, it may be that he's saying it as means of mockery. He's trying to mock Musa. Say, okay, you know, let me go up and see this God of yours. يقول إن موسى قال إن إلهه في السماء اجعلونا نرقى لنراه تهكما. He's saying that, as if he's saying, Musa is saying that Allah is above the heavens, so let us see him. Let us see him, what? Trying to be, you know, mocking him. He's trying to mock him. Of course, you know, he drowned and you know what happened to him. وأيًا كان فقد قال وأني لأظنه كاذبا لتمويه على قومه. Whichever one it is, he wind up saying, and I think that Moses is lying, and he's trying to trick his people with that. وَإِلَّا فَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ صَادِقٌ. Otherwise he knows that Musa was truthful. Allah وَقَدْ قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا أَنزَلَ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَصَائِرٍ. Because Musa had told Pharaoh at some point, he says, you have known, okay, Musa, now speaking of knowledge, revelation from Allah, you have known to Pharaoh that none has sent down these signs which you are seeing except the Lord of the heavens and the earth, basair, as means of proof and evidence for you to see that this is the truth. فَلَمْ يَقُلْ مَا عَلِمْتِ. He didn't say you did not know. He said you know that Allah has sent this down. بَلْ أَقَرَّهُ عَلَى هَذَا الْأَخَبَرِ الْمُوَقَّدِ بِاللَّمْ وَقَدْ وَالْقَسَمْ. Rather he confirmed that by saying لَقَدْ. The lamb is for swearing, and قَدْ is for emphasis, and emphasis and also a form of swearing. So لَقَدْ يعني is the strongest way of affirming something. لَقَدْ جَاءَ الْمُدِيرِ. يعني this is not just the director or the manager has come. This is like for sure, as they say in English, verily or indeed the director has arrived. So لَقَدْ gives that meaning of emphasis, right? To strengthen the point. وَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَقُولْ فِي آيَةٍ أُخْرَى. And Allah said another ayah. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعْلُوَّ. And they denied it. وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. Where do you, the استيقنتها, what word does it remind you of? استيقن, from what word? The root, the noun. استيقن, استيقنوا, استيقن, استيقنتوا, استيقنتا. The ta, I mean the ya, and the qaf, and the noon. Yaqeen. What is yaqeen? No?
No.
Sure.
What's the good word for it? English word?
Confirm.
No. I want an English word for yaqeen.
Confirm.
Certainty. Certainty. Malish. Certainty is like, yani, there's certainty, there's for sure, there's no doubt. It does not entertain any doubt. Certainty. It's like the highest form of believing in something. Yaqeen is beyond iman. Because you may have iman that is shaky. You know, you believe in Allah as long as everything is good. As soon as calamity strikes, the iman may go away. Yaqeen does not entertain that. This person has certainty. So Allah said about Fir'aun and his people, istayqanatha anfusuhum. They had certainty in within themselves that Musa was the messenger of Allah and everything was the true. But how did the ayah begin? وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا. They denied it. They rejected it. Even though within themselves they were certain that this is the truth. But why? ظُلْمًا, transgression, oppression, وَعُلُوَّ. And it means of being arrogant in the land. Corruption in the land. This is why. Dhulm, oppression. They knew that this was not the case, that the Musa was the messenger of Allah, but they, out of oppression, and because they wanted leadership on earth, uluwan, from Ali, being in the state of, you know, above, they rejected the truth. So Fir'aun knew. How do you confirm that? Before he died, he tried to become a believer. If he really inside didn't believe, you would have waited till the last minute before you die, and then you change your religion. Right? You would want to die in whatever you believed. The fact that he wanted to change, meaning he knew, subhanAllah. But it was what? This arrogance. The hugest, worst characteristic in a human being is arrogance. In fact, it is so dangerous that Iblis became who he is today because of arrogance. It wasn't lack of knowledge. It wasn't that he wasn't worshipping. He had all that going for him. He knew Allah and His angels and everything. Arrogance prevented him from obeying Allah's command. And arrogant, consequently, the Prophet ﷺ warned us by saying, he shall not enter Jannah. He who has the grain of a mustard, equal to the grain of a mustard of arrogance. What is arrogance? Looking nice? Is that arrogance? It could be. If one is wearing the clothes with the intent to look down upon others, yes, it's a form of arrogance. However, looking nice, in within itself, in and of itself, as means of beautifying oneself, this is fine. Because when Rasulullah made that statement, the Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, ahaduna, one of us would like to put on a nice garment and a nice pair of shoes. He said, he acknowledged it. He said, Inna Allah jameelun, yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Then he went on to explain, Al-kibr, batrul haqq, wa ghamtin nas. Arrogance is rejecting the truth and belittling people. This is arrogance. So you advise people and they don't listen. They don't listen. They know, but arrogance prevents them from listening to you, either because you're from another nationality and he doesn't like to receive knowledge from someone who is from a inferior or a nationality according to him. Some people have the sickness. I only learn from these people. If you know I'm from this country, from that country, don't teach me anything. Or because of age factor, or because of status, I'm a doctor, you are no one. So some people have this sickness, they refuse the truth because of arrogance, due to many reasons. This is the worst thing that one may have. And this is what caused Fir'aun to be who he wound up being at the end of the day. طيب. الشاهد من هذا أن أمر فرعون ببناء صرح يطلع به على إله موسى يدل على أن موسى صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لفرعون وآله إن الله في السماء. The point here is that the fact that Fir'aun commanded this construction to be built, so he may look closely at the God or the Lord of Musa, is an indication that Musa had told Fir'aun and his people that Allah is above the heavens. فيكون علو الله تعالى ذاتيا قد جاءت به الشرائع السابقة. Then we conclude, or we deduce from that, that Allah's transcendency Himself, His own being in a state of transcendency, is something that has been taught in the previous legislations. It is not something particular to the Sharia of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. In fact, this is among the things that were taught way back. Alhamdulillah. الآية الخامسة والسادسة. The fifth and the sixth ayat.
Fourth one, what is the surah number?
I'm sorry, the fourth ayah? I apologize. Ghafir 36-37. The fifth and the sixth ayat. قَوْلُهُ أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضِ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ. طيب. أَوْ أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ. Do you feel secure that He who is over the heavens will not cause the earth to sink with you, then it should shake? Or do you feel secure that He who is in the heavens will send upon you a violent wind, then you will know كيف نذير, how the warning was, then you will recognize the value of the warning which you had received beforehand. Beautiful. Now, والذي في السماء هو الله عز وجل. أأمنتم من في السماء. Do you feel secure that He who is above the heavens, who is that? Allah سبحانه وتعالى. لكنه كنا عن نفسه بهذا. But Allah عز وجل used that pronoun to refer to Himself. لأن المقام إظهار عظمته. Because the context is the context of showing Allah's magnificence and greatness. وَأَنَّهُ فَوْقَكُمْ قَادِرٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. The fact that He is above you and he's able to do anything He wills or He wishes concerning you. مُسَيْطِرٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. In total control over you. مُهَيْمِنٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Same meaning, synonymous. لِأَنَّهُ الْعَالِي لَهُ سُلْطَةٌ عَلَى مَنْ تَحْتَهُ. Because He is above and He has authority over all that which is under Him. فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ أي تَطَّرِبْ, meaning the earth will shake. وَالْجَوَاب لا نأمن والله. Now this is a question from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you feel secure? And what is the answer? The Shaykh said the answer is no, we don't. By Allah, we don't feel secure. بل نخاف على أنفسنا إذا كثرت معاصينا أن تخسف بنا الأرض. Nay, but we fear that if our sins become abundant, that you will cause the earth to sink with us or to swallow us. And what happened in Jeddah is an example of that. sins here in Jeddah are seem to be a little more than everywhere else in the kingdom to some extent, and we got our own share, a'udhu billah, of Allah's punishment. Now of course it may be mercy for others. The very punishment may be mercy for those who died as martyrs and for those whose sins were forgiven in the process because of the calamity which befell them, and the list goes on. But on general terms, when something like that happens, this is a musibah. It's a calamity. It's a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the people to be careful, not to be heedless. So yeah, we shouldn't feel secure. We should not feel secure because we don't know. When it will stop. And if we don't enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil, we will all be included. Right? Otherwise Allah may save those who enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil, as the Quran indicates. That Allah will yunajjihim. Allah will save them, those who used to forbid as-su, the evil. So inshallah join the crowd and jump on the bandwagon. طيب. Where was I? A. والانهيارات التي يسموها الآن انهيارا أرضيا وانهيارا جبليا وما أشبه ذلك هي النفس التي هدد الله بها هنا. The Sheikh said in those انهيارات, how would I translate that? It's like the falling apart of parts of the earth, right? I'm sure there's a technical word in English if anyone can help me here. When like parts of the earth sink,
crumbling
I guess, something along these lines, but I'm sure there's a technical term in the science field, whatever it is. The Sheikh said that would say warn us against, that the earth may sink or the mountains may fall apart, and things of this nature is actually the same thing that Allah has threatened us against in this ayah. It's the same thing which we are experiencing in our lives today. It's the same threat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us. لكن يأتون بمثل هذه العبارات ليؤونوا الأمر على البسطاء من الناس. However, they use this kind of terminology so they may try to make it simple for the people, right? They're not trying to scare them. They may be, the earth may sink in at this particular area. In fact, it is a warning from Allah, right? If you don't if we don't change our ways. المهم أأمنتم يعني بل أأمنتم وأم هنا بمعنى بل والهمزة. This is very grammatical, grammatically sophisticated, and so I will leave it alone. أيرسل عليكم حاصبا الحاصب عذاب من فوق يحسبون به. The Sheikh said حاصبا is any punishment which comes from above. Which comes from above. It's called حاصبا. كما فعل بالذين من قبلهم, as Allah has done to those nations, or had done to those nations that preceded them, كقوم لوط وأصحاب الفيل, like the people of Lut and the people of the companions of the elephant, if we may call them. أصحاب means the companions, meaning not companions in a good way, but those who were related to the elephant, and both they were destroyed from above. In fact, the people of Lut had a special punishment. Unlike the rest of the nations, that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he actually picked up the piece of earth with his wing, with the edge of his wing. He picked up the part of the earth where they lived, and he raised them up to the heavens. He turned them around, and then he smashed them back down on earth. Then it was sent upon them the al-hijara, the stones from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what they deserved, these wicked people who today claim that they have rights, and they want to fight for their rights and have, riots in the streets and trying to get same-sex marriage bills, passed, and things of crazy stuff, crazy stuff that back then, or even a few years back, this was unacceptable. And, one of the du'at mentioned something very funny in the context of saying how, the secular democracy is like this disease and how they keep changing things. Is that in the books of diseases in medicine, some years back, among the diseases was homosexuality, right? It was a disease which is supposed to be treated through, medicine and with psychiatrists and various ways to treat it. Now, they took it out, and it has been replaced with what? Homophobia. Those who don't like homosexuals. Now you became the sick one.
Oh.
Before they were sick, huh? Now, you don't like homosexuals, you have a problem and you need to go see a doctor. Say, doctor, something's wrong with me. I don't like gay people. Say, oh, excuse me. Emergency. Say, shahada. What is this crazy stuff? So it was a disease before, now you're the diseased one if you don't like it. Anyways, that's what democracy is. Whatever the people like, they do. Okay, you're an adult when you're 18 in the States. But you go to another place, 16 is fine. Another place, 14 is fine. So then it fluctuates. So on what basis you say that the marriage of Prophet ﷺ to Aisha is something unacceptable? Back then, in the Arabian Peninsula, the maturity, the adult was 6 years old. You have a problem? Have a problem? Mind your business. Don't live over there. You don't know what they were doing 1400 years ago. You think it's 14 now. They thought something else. Of course, he did not have a relation with her until she was 9. So really, it's 9. The age of menstruation. Whenever a woman receives her menstrual cycle, khalas, she's ready to deliver children. And this is what happened with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He only consummated the marriage after she had received her menstrual cycle, after she got her menstrual cycle. So she was a young woman. The marriage, it was customary among, she was engaged to someone before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did you know that? Go back to the hadith in Bukhari. She was engaged to someone before the Messenger of Allah. Then the Messenger of Allah married her. What does that mean? It was something normal in the society back then. Furthermore, if this was an error, if this was something foul, who would have spoken about it? The Quraysh, who were looking for all kinds of faults and mistakes to accuse him. No one ever made a big deal out of this. Why? This was something normal. So if you get a funny people trying to, you know, criticize the Prophet ﷺ concerning this, you know, pedophilia and what, things of this nature, you need to silence them with this information. Say, and by the way, pedophilia is basically molestation of children. He was married to this woman, man. She was his wife. She narrated narrations from him. They loved each other. They lived, as they say, happily ever after. And you know, she never complained about anything from him. What are you talking about? Where's the abuse? Where's the oppression? There's no such thing. So because they don't know these elements, we need to present it to them in an adequate fashion. But you know, anything they bring against Islam, believe me, there's a powerful answer that will silence anyone. We just have to know them, right? And that's why we need to, you know, spend more time, you know, in da'wah and learning the various elements of da'wah, inshallah ta'ala. Ala kulli hal, I don't know how I got here again. Na'am, so this was the gay people and how Allah destroyed the people of Lut. Wal khasfu min tahat, so hasiban from above, khasif, which is the earth sinking in, is from below. Right. Fallahu azza wa jal haddadana min fawq wa min tahat. The point is that in this verse, Allah threatened us that He will send the punishment from beneath us or from above us. Both, we were threatened. Qala Allah ta'ala, فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حَاصِبًا وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتُ الصَّيْحَةُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَغْرَقْنَا. When Allah spoke about the various disobedient, disbelieving nations, He said, in each we punished accordingly. Some of which we had sent upon them the hasiba, a punishment from above. And others, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتُ الصَّيْحَةُ, and others, the scream, you know, this loud voice which they heard, and it killed them instantly. No, instantly people died because it was just overwhelming sound. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضِ, among them are those we caused the earth to swallow, like Qarun and the likes. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَغْرَقَنَا, and among them are those who we drowned, like who?
Fir'aun
and?
Nuh.
Noah. Hey, Nuh. Now, these are among the people that were drowned. أربعة أنواع من العذاب. These are four kinds of punishment. نسأل الله العافية. وهنا ذكر الله نوعين منها الحاصب والخسف. And here Allah mentioned both. حاصب from above, خسف from beneath. والشاهد من هذه الآية هو قوله من في السماء. The point of emphasis in this ayah is the statement of Allah, the one who is in the above the sky or above the heavens. والذي في السماء هو الله عز وجل وهو دليل على علو الله بذاته. So this is an indication that Allah Azza wa Jal himself, His being is above the heavens. لكن ها هنا إشكال وهو أن في للظرفية فإذا كان الله في السماء وفي للظرفية فإن الظرف محيط بالظروف. طيب. The Shaykh said, however, we do have an issue here. The issue is that في, what is في in English?
In.
What is in English? An adjective? Is it a verb?
Preposition.
Preposition. Good. Testing your English skills. Then you can test me later. I'm very bad. But I teach English somehow. So, the preposition. It's a preposition. طيب. Now, what does usually in mean? The water is in the cup. What does that mean?
Inside.
That the cup encompasses the water. For it to be in. Huh? My blood is in my body. If it's out, then you know that's then not. But if it's in, that means my body encompasses my blood. So the Shaykh saying, okay, we have an issue. We're saying fis sama. If you want to translate that, yani literally according to the terminology, do you feel secure that the one who is in the heavens? What does that? What the connotation is that Allah is surrounded, encompassed by the heavens. طيب. فإن الظرف محيط بالظروف. أرأيت لو قلت الماء في الكأس. The Shaykh said, you see if I said the water is in the glass. فالكأس محيط بالماء وأوسع من الماء. The cup surrounds or encompasses the water and is actually larger. It's more vast than the water. فإذا كان الله يقول أمنتم ما في السماء فهذا ظاهر أن السماء محيطة بالله. So the apparent meaning then is that the heavens encompass Allah. وهذا الظاهر باطل. This apparent meaning is false. وإذا كان الظاهر باطلا فإننا نعلم علم اليقين غير مراد الله. And if the apparent meaning is false, then we know for sure with certainty that Allah did not intend that. Because Allah could not intend something which is false. لأنه لا يمكن أن يكون ظاهر الكتاب والسنة باطلا. Never would the apparent meaning of the Quran and the Sunnah be falsehood. Question or revision or examination. Pop quiz. I explained previously in the same class the issue of fee and how there are two ways we understand it so we may get out of this confusion. Who will explain that to us kindly?
The fee is giving two meanings. One is in, another is on. For example, nowadays they are telling ada fi tari. They are telling the sentence. So here it's meaning not in, here on the way.
Good. You remember the example you gave, that's
thank
why.
You, yes.
MashaAllah, Ibrahim. So the second one.
What, in?
No. Fi sama. How did we explain that?
Yes, the same meaning. It is giving, Allah is above the sama.
How did you get that?
It's not meaning that Allah is inside the sky.
But how do we explain fi sama then? The wording. We said sama can mean what?
Above.
And it doesn't necessarily mean the sky. Because we said Allah says, أنزل من السماء ماء. Allah sent down from the sama water. The water came from the clouds, A, and from the lowest heaven, B. So sky then, sama, is not, it means that from above. The rain was sent down from above. And the word used was sama. He didn't say أنزل من الغمام أو من الغيوم أو أنزل من السماء الدنيا أو سماء السفلى or anything of this nature. The word sama generally was used. So we said في السماء meaning in the state or in the direction of above. And it doesn't mean in the heavens. Right? Do you remember?
Yeah.
I hope so. The Shaykh will break it down anyways. فَمَا الْجَوَابُ عَلَى هَذَا إِشْكَالَ I was quizzing you before the Shaykh will explain. So what is intended then? قال العلماء الجواب أن نسلك أحد طريقين. The answer is that we explain to respond to this problem. We have two methodologies or ways to respond. فإما أن نجعل السماء بمعنى العلو, which is the latter one I explained. Either that we make سماء meaning in the state of transcendency. والسماء يعني العلو وارد في اللغة. And the word سماء meaning transcendency, meaning above, is something which is found in the Arabic language. We're not bringing anything innovative here. بل في القرآن, nay, but in the Quran. And he quoted the ayah which I mentioned to you earlier. قال تعالى أنزل من السماء ماء فسالت أودية بقدرها. So he sent down water from the sky. Right. والمراد بالسماء العلو. What is intended is from above. From above. Because the rain came from the clouds and not from the سماء. لأن الماء ينزل من السحاب لا من السماء. التي هي السقف المحفوظ. Because it's like a ceiling. It's a preserved ceiling. وَالسَّحَابُ فِي الْعُلُوُ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ Whereas the clouds are in a state of transcendency between the heaven and the earth. Between the sky and the earth. The clouds are between. And the rain is coming from them, not from the sama, which is the ceiling. You see what I'm saying? Alhamdulillah. كما قال تعالى والسحاب المسخر بين السماء والأرض and the clouds which are between the heavens and the earth. طيب فيكون من في السماء أي من في العلو meaning he who is in the state of transcendency. ولا يوجد إشكال بعد هذا. We don't have a problem afterwards. فهو في العلو because Allah is in the state of transcendency. ليس يحاذي شيء. There's nothing parallel to Allah. Nothing parallel to Allah. وَلَا يَكُونُ فَوْقَهُ شَيْءٍ And there's nothing above him سبحانه وتعالى. And with this actually, we should conclude this درس. Inshallah ta'ala, in our next session, if we all remain alive and healthy, we will continue briefly, because we're almost towards the end of this topic. We continue the expression of fi as in ala, the interchangeable meaning of fi as in ala meaning on, with the evidence. Then we'll actually be going to one of the most important topics in this book. And actually the main reason why we have many among the Muslims still believing that Allah is everywhere. Because of the quality of ma'iyya. Allah being with the creation. As you come across in the Quran and the Sunnah. لا تحزن, for example, إن الله معنا, Allah is with us. That understanding of with in the minds of the people made them presume that Allah is with them, mixed with them. And this is why they wind up denying all the qualities of transcendency and rising above the throne. So this is very crucial for us to be able to refute, because pay attention. You may come to a one who is Ash'ari or whatever and explain to him what you have learned concerning the Allah being above his throne and being above in a state of transcendency. As soon as he gives you one of the ayat of ma'iyya, you're lost. Because Allah says there's no three except that Allah is there. Fourth, he will say, what does that mean? And you say that we should accept the Quran and the Sunnah according to the apparent meaning. Huh? So now why are you doing ta'wil? You said I'm not supposed to interpret the meaning away. Fine. So what are you doing? But trust me, don't think that anybody has such authority. It's refutable. However, I'm showing you how important it is, because this lesson, this coming lesson, is very much connected to the previous one. We will not truly understand this aqidah until we understand these both. Tayyib? So make sure you come early inshallah, if you have the means to do so, and make sure you come period. جزاكم الله خيرا وآخر دعوة الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد